see how it goes.
Good afternoon, today is Tuesday, July 27th, 2021, and it is 1:32 PM, and we're gathered in legal, in the board conference room for legal counsel update. Got a fairly heavy schedule, going into executive session a little bit later. But for right now, we're gonna start off with item number one, draft resolution referral to Dover, November 2nd, 2021 ballot, renewal of adult jail and juvenile detention. Five-year local option tax, and it's on for tomorrow's, and you have the final there, I think. All you're doing is presenting the final to us for signatures.
Who's taking pictures of my bar?
After tomorrow's WBS.
Exactly, yeah, so when, and before we get into this, who do we want presenting tomorrow? Do we want, maybe, I don't want to sign the sheriff up for something that he didn't know was coming, but do we want him there, do you want, I mean, you want me to lay it out, do you want a combination, how do we want this to roll out tomorrow?
I think you ought to lay it out, just.
Just have me do it?
Let me do, yeah.
Okay, I'll just do it then.
Yeah, but the sheriff should be on board.
Yeah, okay.
He'll be there.
Okay.
In case we have any questions of him.
So since our last meeting, got a lot of good feedback in here, and it became apparent to me that the way we were saying the same thing in these two titles was not the same way. Right, so I was saying basically you're gonna cover the dedicated parts, be it jail, juvenile, animal control, shelter, and administrative functions, but we were saying that differently in each of the ballot titles. And so to avoid confusion, what we've done is come up with language that essentially matches, and so if everyone wants to put them side by side, and I'm looking here at the jail and juvenile, which is item one, next to the animal shelter, which is item two. And so we've got more or less comparable flow going on here with bullet points, you know, in the top part of that.
Okay.
And then we go from there to the standard paragraph of the money that the assessor has calculated out. And so it just looks very comparable. So the voter will have hopefully a similar experience when reading both of these.
Yeah. Okay, I like that. Right.
So I wanted to make that flow better. And then, actually, before we leave that page, and so the final bullet on each of them now states, cover related administrative expenses. So that was designed to cover the all-encompassing administrative expenses issue. And so that change has been made. And then looking at the next one, so we've got, let's see. Yeah, we've got in jail, we've got the, in the first paragraph there, we've got the related administrative expenses language, which include finance, human resources, legal counsel, and IT. And then it says no revenue from this measure would fund the office or salary of the Board of County Commissioners. So I've added that same language to the animal levy, the first paragraph, second paragraph of the animal, you know what I mean? So that's going to be the same sentence that the voters are reading in both of these.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So that was the idea there. And I think that covers the gist of it in terms of what's been adjusted.
Well, you're doing the opposite of what the Secretary of State does. Secretary of State puts language in there to confuse the
committee. So you can vote yes on a no ballot?
Yes, yeah. No means no. But the clarity, I think, is we're in a very simplistic, this is an area of Oregon that really wants just the straight skinny. They don't want a bunch of legalese. They want to just tell like you're going to tell me in the Frozen Feud section of Safeway.
Yes.
Or Albertsons or any other story. It's like Winco. You got to get them all in there. Fred Meyer. Okay.
Okay, so coming to a business session near you.
That'll be over tomorrow. That's one and two both. Well, the one and two both go to the weekly news or
something. Exactly. So.
Okay, thank you, Wally.
Yep.
And did you have, I'm sure you had something to do with the irrigation district, IGA?
I do.
And, Mr. Brandis, you want to step up? And,
there, he's here, okay.
Well, this is Rob Brandis, our Public Works Director.
Good afternoon, all.
This is an intergovernmental agreement between Josephine County and the Grand Pass Irrigation District for stormwater
management. Plan is a good word, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. I don't know who did it on your staff. Well, it was fantastic. Was that all you or group effort? It's fantastic. No, good start.
I'm going to use the template for Fort Benoy.
It's a really good start. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, good. I'm hoping you'd say that.
Yeah, no, it's no. So I think it's pretty dang close for a first cut. Yep.
Good.
Yep.
I'm not alone. Okay. Well, let's dive into the substance here.
Yeah, for sure. And just to reset the stage for everybody, so years ago, the road department would pay irrigation district $25,000 a year. That ceased about 15 years ago, and our feeling was we were not getting anything for the money, lack of responsiveness and all that. Over the last year or two, that has improved quite a bit. The other thing driving this is with the MS4, that's the municipal, sanitary, stormwater, all that stuff we have to do now that we're above 50,000. So everybody's going to have to manage these stormwater. So it's going to be a group effort because they've got infrastructure, we've got infrastructure, the city has infrastructure. How do we collectively deal with this?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Stop right here while we're on that subject. What prompted us, the county, to pay $25,000 a year? Was there another agreement prior to that?
I could never find anything. It predated me, and
all of a sudden it popped up because we had timber dollars coming in the every window.
Could have been
that we had, and why not help the irrigation district out a little bit? No big deal.
I could never find anything.
No formal contract on that $25,000 that you could find.
Nope, handshake agreement. Yep, and I think I discontinued it in 2006 or 2007.
It's in the same file as the sportsman park.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You can just find the box.
Yeah, exactly. Dig that file cabinet back out of the ground. So that's what kind of got us to this point. And again, you know, GPID has been much more responsive lately. I don't know if they've staffed it necessarily, but they've equipmented it up a little bit more, so they're able to attack some of this stuff a little better than they were. So that was
the management change over there too, I think.
Yep, for sure. So do you want to go through the agreement or kind of set the stage going forward, or how do you want to attack this?
Let's go through the agreement.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of ins and outs going on.
Sure.
I just like to read it rather than go through it stage by stage and then mark it up, and then we can bring it back if anybody has any.
Sure.
Darren's been through this before with the city. I've been through it before with the city. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Herman's with the district, so I think if we can just go through this.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of boilerplate stuff in here.
There's a lot of boilerplate stuff in here, but if we get down to the meat of it, we'll see something that jumps out at us.
Yep.
Because
Is this mostly to do with that Sand Creek area?
No, this would be all their canal, theoretically.
All the times we cross over.
And you know, seriously, the Fort Vinoy is going to get in there because the city dumps in, Grants Pass Canals dumps into ours. So, I mean, it just keeps.
And you need to be talking to the people across the parking lot.
Right. We really do because we're at capacity. And, you know, what do? You're going to have to dig everything bigger. Oof. And that's going to take
chunk of change.
The flip side of it is, what would it cost the city of Grants Pass or Josephine County to just put all of our drainage into the river through our own system?
Right.
Good luck.
We're the last ones on the bus. Everybody, at least on the north side of the river.
Yeah,
right.
All eventually winds up in that little bitty irrigation district.
But we all got to figure that we've all got a stake in this thing. And so we all need to be working together rather than just saying, they're just small peanuts. Fort Vinoy, what do I care about that? Well, they're in the loop. So Fort Vinoy said, no, you're not putting anything in it.
When you got water in your house, you start caring.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, and to give you a sense, so I think what's ultimately going to happen on the north side, we're going to have to do a bigger area-wide stormwater study, and it's not going to be cheap. Right? It's going to be $500,000 bucks. But to do it right, you need to say, all right, we're going to, you know, why bother sizing this, upsizing if there's bottlenecks down the road?
It's a 12-foot culvert under Hunt Lane, and I've seen it run over the top.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you're only going to be able to design for probably a 10 or a 25-year event. That's just through. We did a storm study, and after about the 10-year event, you start saying, oh my gosh, it's nine figures to fix this stuff. So you just have to kind of shoot the middle. How far do we chase? But I think that's the ultimate solution. It's probably going to be a combo of us, the city, and the district's all ponying up to say, we got to just have this professional.
Yeah, that's a combination effort for the
plan. They take LIDAR out there. Right. They look at the drainage boundaries, rain.
The problem that we have in our district that you are not experiencing yet, it's coming your way. Actually, it does. It does salmonoid habitat.
Oh, right.
Yep.
See, our district is salmonoid habitat.
Yep.
Whatever the salmonoid is. Anyway.
It's got flippers on it.
I was going to ask today at our meeting with the city county, and they were talking about their urban growth boundary, how much of that will be impervious or whatever they call that, which then dumps in back into the system.
So, yep.
I don't know. I'd like to look this over, read it over, and have any questions.
A couple more things that you just keep in the back of your mind as we're wading through this. I'm happy to volunteer Bob Noyes and some of our staff time to help them come into the 21st century to get some of their stuff on GIS, because I know they don't have it, but at least have a clearinghouse for where that exists. We've got our part of it on there. We need to get theirs, get the city, so we can be looking at this thing holistically. So I'm assuming the board's okay with me spending a bit of dollars here and there to help them with the argument that helps us.
Bring it up to date.
Yep.
Is the city, now is he gonna do the city's side of it also, or just the county? Just remember.
The city has most of it that they've already done internally, because they use the GPID system to discharge stormwater a lot more than we do. So they basically know where all that is.
Does the city, is there any place where the city dumps into our system, then we dump it into theirs?
Sure, at the end of some of the, you know, like at the end of Redwood Avenue, it eventually flips from their storm drain into our ditches. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So that's one of the biggies. Another one is going to be, with this MS4, there's going to be a land use component to it, and we'll have to get Mark Stevenson involved, but, you know, GPID says we want a no net increase. It's impossible. If you build a house, you've made an impervious structure, more water gets to the river. It's just, there's no way around that. So that part of the discussion is going to involve
Then don't make me submit my driveway.
Yeah, right.
You have to now.
And you can have
I just said, don't make me.
You know, but
you're taking away.
You can have a pervious roof then, right?
Yeah.
You put swale in the front.
In that azalea area and all that area that drains to this side, if your driveway's over a certain percentage grade, it's got to be asphalted now and on and on. And I mean, we've created some of this ourselves.
Yep. Yep. But it's
all being conveyed.
The price of progress, as they say.
Okay.
So those are the kind of biggies. And then there's the call out on 312 about an operations manual. That's another biggie. We've just, I'll point fingers, but their GPID is less likely to remember to do those annual things than we are. It's just by nature of their size. It's like, whoops, there's a storm event. I guess we didn't get the boards in. That's why it's tearing down Redwood Avenue and destroying everything. So that'll be a good other piece to have in there. I'm excited to see that. So yeah, I'll get you my comments, and the three of you want to read through that, we can reconvene.
Okay. Sound good. Reading material, that's what I need. More reading material.
Now, as Commissioner Bearchigger pointed out, it's not as long as it looks. It's mostly boilerplate.
Yeah.
Three, four pages of drainage excitement.
Item four.
Exactly.
So we've got that. We don't have any action on item number three. Item four, Sportsman Park Premises Alteration Agreement. This, I'm assuming, has only to do with the shooting range that they want to upgrade and
the current construction
to their plan, to the county plan?
Yes. Yes. And this is the authorization for them to commence on the project they proposed. And Mr. Ledbetter represents the association, and I confirm this is what they want to do.
And they looked this over?
Yes.
Or they haven't seen it yet?
And I talked to Don about it, and he's fine with it. And so everything's ready to go. We can get this done tomorrow.
Yes. Yep.
They got labor negotiations out there?
No.
You're at risk.
We are not unionizing the sports
risk. Yeah.
Good to know. I would agree with that determination. No, I just.
What about the skeet throwers?
I don't know how much information the board's been given, and I just know that neither my office nor legal has been given some information. I think that the board should consider in saying yes or no on this proposal. I'm not even saying it's a bad proposal. It's probably a good one. 45 years on these barriers.
Oh yeah, I've been out there and looked at it. And
so I mean,
having a taller barrier between the shooting lanes is not a bad thing.
No. Right? My point is, what I've heard is the intention with the shooting range is to these barriers will allow them to collect their targets while other people are still shooting.
Right.
And that's pretty atypical in shooting ranges to do that. So. My concern, and again, this may have already been answered to individual board members, but I haven't seen anything on it, is I have some specs on what the barriers look like, but I don't know how tall they are because there's multiple kinds. I don't know what ratings these barriers are rated for, so what kind of caliber they designed to absorb. I don't know what kind of firearms are being authorized to use at this range. So without that information, I don't know whether this is safe or not. And as it relates to county liability, if someone's going to sue the county, they need to prove some sort of fault from the county.
Yeah. Did you look at it? No, we never saw it. Bang. Oh, sort of big bang.
Well,
how bad word to use?
Shooting range.
So these, I think we can get some of that information.
I think it's easy to get it. We just haven't seen it, so I can't say.
Yeah, you have it. These barriers are. This is what the military's using now and everything, and so they're using as big a caliber as we're using.
Yeah.
Do we have any, would it be, I think it would be good for us to have as-built drawings so we have the height of them and so on and so forth.
I think we have that someplace.
Oh, I got this. All I have is this piece.
Yeah, I have some some stuff, but it doesn't say this is exactly what it is. Here's some potentials. Okay. But what I haven't seen is what are these? I mean, you're saying these are designed for anything and everything you want to throw at them.
Well, no, don't say that kind of statement. You're not going to put up.
For what will be used at this range? I just haven't seen that.
JJ makes a very valid point that they're coming back from the backside and say, did you have any of this information? Why the heck did you approve it if you didn't even know what it did?
Yeah.
And what it looks like and what the height is and what
trust
the
but verify.
Yeah. And that's my only concern. Odds are it's a good product and the end product is going to be safer than current.
Right.
But with the change in practice of what is going on at that specific shooting range, we just want to make sure that we protect ourselves by saying, yeah, this is
ask Don to put that in his presentation tomorrow. That would probably help.
Yeah. Okay.
Get it in
that's
the
all
record.
I needed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, JJ.
Thank you.
Okay, so he's going to be tomorrow. Don's going to do that?
Yeah, he's coming tomorrow.
Write that down, Wendy. Don Ledbetter, presenter. Okay, item 5 is letter to governor regarding cartel workers. I'm assuming we've got some visual aids here.
Provided by the sheriff.
Can we send a cop? Make sure a copy of this goes to Val.
Sure.
Okay. Narco slavery.
Is that Senate president or something?
Does Tiger
She's
Kitchen, is
Commissioner
T-Gray's Kitchen, does he have a permit to use that T-Gray's Kitchen?
I doubt it.
It looks like elk camp.
It's pretty nice. I see the moonshine jug over here on the right hand side. Pretty cool.
Boy.
Patio blocks. Okay.
Inconceivable.
So, I'm going to guess that what we're looking at here is that there's obvious infractions of public health. If fire got into this thing, it'd go through here like Grant through Dixie. Unhealthy conditions.
Don't say that anymore.
No sanitary facilities for El Tigre to wash his stuff and do anything. So I'm going to guess that this is probably what, I don't know what the letter, did we have a letter copy? Yeah, here, that's right here, I'm sorry. My apologies.
The only thing I ask, Wally, mm-hmm. is that wherever you say narco slavery, that you put that in bold.
Bold.
Okay.
Okay.
Hmm? And we put it, what is it called?
Narco slavery.
Oh. Yeah.
And what does it mean?
Narcotic slavery.
Okay.
Slavery.
Yeah. For the sake of narcotics.
Drug dealers in Mexico are called narcos.
Okay. Just want to make sure it's a defined term.
Yeah, I mean, the term slavery was used last week, I think, when we talked about this, so I tried to make
it. Interesting if we could ever find out how many of them. I'm assuming when they cross the border down in the southern end of it and really have no place to go, that there are recruiters down there saying, I got a place for you to work. Get on that bus right there and send them off. You know, narcotics growers saying, yeah, I need 40 of you in Oregon tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Get on that, get in that U-Haul, and away we go. And it'd be interesting to go down to southern border. I'm not going to do that. I'm not suggesting we do it. But find out from Border Control if there is such a thing on this side, an organization, an employment agency that hires these folks and then send them. They just want them to go away from the border once they're on this side. Get them all signed in, and they just, I found a job in Oregon. So they're gone, and they're no longer do they worry about them. No longer are they anybody's responsibility other than the guy that hired them. I don't know if that's involved with that, or how far do you take this thing?
I don't know. With sanctuary state, you can't get any information because you can't really ask them anything.
Right. I found that out.
Crazy.
Well, so this did go to the governor, or we're sending this to the governor?
Just consider, I guess, next week's business session. We'll have a discussion about it. I know Sheriff Daniel has joined us here on Zoom today. I don't know if he has anything further to add. But.
Sheriff, you have anything to put in on this, on your letter?
He's not signing.
No, I haven't reviewed the letter. I think it's appropriate. I don't know that we should use when we talk about this, I don't know that we should use the word cartel. That's kind of a specific operation, maybe to South America, that type of thing. Really, it could be any operation. from anywhere, local people to, it's really just all about the utilization of these workers and the humanitarian effects. I think, do you have photos there?
Yes.
Yeah. We don't use the word cartel in here, do we?
No, I avoided that.
No, we don't use it, Dave.
No, you don't. I appreciate
criminal networks.
I heard it mentioned. Yes. So it's, I was on Channel 10 last night getting blasted over that very thing, so might want to be careful about that. But at any rate, the videos or the pictures you're seeing are very typical of what's out there. That's standard operating procedure for 75% of the grows. I've been to a couple different operations, and where they're very good, they have showers and running water, and they can wash their clothes and kitchen utensils and those types of things. But this is the vast majority of what we're seeing out there. What you're looking at is you're looking at a tarp on the ground. That's actually a pit toilet dug into the ground. And then you see the standard cooking with lack of refrigeration at all in these hot days. And then a typical place to sleep, that in cargo containers, shanties of plywood and tents.
Are you finding any weapons or anything at these sites?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Any stolen weapons, or am I prying too much?
Not off the top of my head, as of late anyway. I know we have, but not very recently that I see. Typically the weapons are in houses, things like that. We don't see them too much at the actual tent like sites, because okay. These people, I'm assuming, come across the border and get picked up or get transported up here to work. That's not something they're gonna bring with them.
Interesting electrical installation, wouldn't you say, yeah. Commissioner Fowler? And how about the AC in there, Commissioner Dio? Yeah.
That's the 9-inch.
That's the 9-inch.
Yeah, this is really a much bigger issue. And I think, as you guys already mentioned, commissioners and chair, that this is a problem that starts at the border. And it starts, with what is declared now and not necessarily a sanctuary, but a sunshine state. I'm going to continue saying sanctuary because everybody understands it. But it's a bigger problem just than what we have.
We were talking just a minute ago about how do these people get here. Do you have any way, have you been trying to trace it back to the border, our southern border, that basically there's a employment agent at the southern border saying, yeah, I've got a job up in Oregon for 40 of you working in agriculture. Get in the U-Haul bus and we'll take you on, and we'll take you there. Is there any kind of organization down at the border that gives these people jobs that we can trace back?
I can't answer that question. I'm not quite the subject matter expert on what happens at the border as to how these individuals are brought up here. I do know that they transport many of them in U-Hauls. That could be one way. I know that's how the transport is sometimes locally. Met an individual, and keep in mind these are not English speaking individuals, so we have to get a translator in there to talk with them. They have no documentation as far as a license or an ID card. Very, very seldom do we see that. And so it's just a name, and we run them for criminal purposes, not immigration purposes, and basically let them go, because it's hard to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that these individuals actually know what they're doing other than just growing an agricultural crop.
All right. Works for me.
Yep.
Okay.
Looks good.
I'm in favor.
BBS.
I need to, when we get all done with this, let me know. I'd like to get it all scanned electronically, and I'll send it to Dan Hagerty at Channel 8 News in Portland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chair, work with this our document is work. Not going to be a surprise to the governor. I had a meeting this morning with OLCC director and not director, but one of their leads, and also the Oregon Department of Agriculture, the down here, and they're getting a lot of blowback and fallout from representatives and senators up there in Salem. I shouldn't say blowback, but a lot of emails just going, hey, really, what's going on down there? What about the water theft? What about the humanitarian issue? So this should not be a surprise to the legislature or our governor at this point.
Is OHA, I know I got a phone call from OHA wanting to know about vaccinations down here. I wonder if we should call their vaccination center, make sure all these people are vaccinated.
Yeah,
Have we found any needles on these busts?
Not typically at the sites.
They might not be vaccinated.
Okay, well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, it says cartel on our...
Oh, it doesn't...
That's where the word is. It's on our agenda.
Yeah.
So that's not...
Sorry about that.
Telltale, yeah.
Dave, I had a long conversation with Val Hoyer, Commissioner of Boley, and she kind of wants to... She's trying to figure out if she can afford a team to accompany you guys on some of these... What that looks like, I don't know. I said, talk to the sheriffs, both you and Nate over in Jackson County, but...
Yeah, so, I'll be happy to accommodate that should they come down.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, so we're done with the letter. That'll go on the weekly business session tomorrow?
No, next week.
Next week. Okay, thank you.
And, yeah.
Okay,
put item a short number, letter. Governor will probably read that herself.
Item number six is Douglas County, Colorado, not Douglas County, Oregon. Commissioners adopt a free to choose resolution. And this is their resolution coming out of Douglas County, Colorado.
Three to two.
Resolution declaring that the Douglas County residents are free to choose how to protect their lives and livelihoods from COVID-19. It's a lot of whereases in there.
It is. I stumbled across this because someone said, yeah, why don't you model it after the Douglas County Commissioners? So I put in Douglas County Commissioners. And I stumbled into this one in Colorado, which was pretty thoughtfully written. There's some stats we'd have to change, obviously, some stuff. But it really is that last, finally be it resolved, that they're free to choose how to protect their own lives, our residents, regarding mask wearing, mask requirements, vaccination passports. And no such requirements will be mandatory in any board-controlled indoor space. And so it, I don't know, it's pretty well written. So when do you guys have a look at it?
This is where, nor shall any citizen or business be subject to fines or penalties by local government for failure to wear or require a mask or present a vaccination passport in any indoor space in Douglas County.
Well, I think if we pass something like this, I think everybody in Oregon would know where Josephine County is.
Immediately.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, and this one's very mask specific. There's other ones floating around Oregon commissioners' offices that are not so mask specific. They're against shutdowns. They're against, state mandates that are not geographically defined and shutting the whole state down, those kind of things. And so I know we're working towards doing what's best for our citizens and trying to come up with a resolution, but you can, as a lawyer would tell you, you can never cover all contingencies when you're doing a preemptive document. But I don't know how far you guys want to go.
I'm game. I want Wally to scrutinize it and see where we're at. You know, one thing interesting, commissioners, that my memory has re-brought back to surface is a conversation with Michael Weber when I asked the definition of pandemic. And that is when you have a disease that you have no cure or protection from, then you can call a pandemic. And that's what creates the emergency where the governor can call emergency. We don't have that anymore. We got vaccinations. We don't have that anymore. Okay? So if I'm right and my memory serves me right, and we probably have to revisit with Mr. Weber, there's no pandemic exist or can exist if there's a vaccination.
Or if there's therapeutic.
And or therapeutic. We have both.
We have therapeutics to begin with, and then it was said, no, you can't use the therapeutic because it hasn't been tested, but it was a therapeutic that had been used for 25 years without bodily harm.
You know, another interesting thing, this ivermectin is supposed to be, and we use it in the cattle all the time. I get it all over me all the time. And it's absorbed through your skin. That's how you put it on the cattle. You just put it down there. So maybe it does work. I don't know. I know I've had it. It's interesting, you know. There's all this stuff swirling around, and you're trying to grab the right piece of paper to see if this is the right answer. But I remember asking him, what is the definition of pandemic? And that's where you have a disease that you have no cure and no treatment for, and so that's why pandemic. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all over. We got cures and we got treatments, or we got therapeutics, or whatever you want to call them. All right, that's it for me. I'll get accused of being a doctor.
Well, Dr. Bear Trigger. I like it. It's got a good ring to it, doesn't it?
Well, there's one in Switzerland.
Okay. So here we go, gentlemen. We're going to get into today is Tuesday, July 27th, 2021. And at 2:02 p.m., Josephine County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda items. Item 7A is county real property at the airports, possible lease at 210 Tacoma or S192.6602E. Item 7B is national prescription opiate litigation, Ohio case number 1:18-OP-45042-DAP, D.4, case number 3:18-CV-520MO-MO-ORS192.6602H. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff should be allowed to attend the executive session. All of the members of that audience has to leave the Zoom room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. In the executive session, we'll return to open session and welcome the audience back into the Zoom room. Or do we have anybody from the press on there, Wendy? And nobody from the press in the room? The recorder will now be turned off at 2:03. We are back in session at 2:27 p.m. And I'll go through item 7A. Jason Davis gave us an update on the county real property at the airport, lease possible 210 Tacoma, and we went through some items in the proposed lease and gave direction to proceed forward with that.
Yes.
And item 7B is national prescription opiate litigation, Ohio case, and I've already said it earlier in the meeting, and we just got an update on where that stands, where that potential litigation is landing, and some estimates on the future of it. So other than that, I will move on to item number 8, which is additional subject to matters from commissioners. Anything?
I have none.
Nothing today, sir.
None since this morning. And so with that, we will be adjourned at 2:28 p.m.